I was in prayer last night, yesterday afternoon, seeking God on this lesson this morning. I didn't feel led to go where I thought I was going to go. And we've had a lot of reports, seen, you know, manifestations, people fighting some symptoms, especially this respiratory thing that's been hitting people. And I thought it'd be a good time to take our flu shots this morning. Of course, we do inoculations of the Word of God, right? So we're going to talk about the divine healing of God this morning. And that's why I wanted to bring those testimonies forth again, is to get a running start at where we're going. Amen? How many know we have a promise of healing in the Scriptures? So turn in your Bibles with me. Let's get started. Hosea. Chapter 4. I'm going to get there. Let's go to verse number 6. God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Now, the part I want to focus on this morning is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know can hurt you. In fact, it can kill you. And God's put in the Scriptures infinite levels of power available for us that we can apply to every part of our lives, including healing. And a lot of people have this mindset, they walk around saying, well, if God wanted me healed, He'd heal me. No, that's some false understanding of how God operates. God said He's already healed you. Amen? He expects us to get into the Word and believe the Word and apply the Word to access that healing power. And so we've got the vast majority of Christians walking around thinking, well, if God wants to heal you, He'll heal you. If it be thy will, Lord God, you know, heal me. Not knowing, faith believes it's already completed. It's already done. Amen. And so we come to church to discover how the kingdom of God operates. We just came out of a while back, a long series we did on the principles of the kingdom of God. And we found that God operates by set laws, spiritual laws. And if we'll learn to access and activate those laws, we can see kingdom results manifested in our lives. Are you with me this morning? And so, if we'll learn how God moves and align our lives with how He moves, we can get what He says that we can have. If we reject knowledge of how the kingdom operates and say, well, I'm just going to do it my way, then you veer off the path that aligns your life being able to receive of the promises, and you miss out on what God has for you. Amen. And so this morning we want to look at what does it take to access His healing power. First of all, understanding Scriptures, healing primarily comes through two paths. There are two paths to healing in the Scriptures. One is by the gifts. You know, when people come up to me for prayer and, you know, they don't know anything about the healing power of God or very little, may not even know it's God's will to heal them. And repeatedly I'll pray for people and they'll be healed. Was that because they had great faith for healing? No. That was a gift of God that manifested, that provided them a mercy healing or a gift of healing. When we were running the coffee shop full time, we had people come in there all the time with aches and pains. I think we had one or two people having a heart attack. We never lost one in this building. Amen. In fact, I can think of two people came in here specifically that were having a heart challenge. We prayed for them, and the pain left. But we had every kind of healing take place, even with people that weren't even saved. God's a merciful God. And if they can get in contact with the gift and the gift will activate, they can see the power of God released. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at this in our Bible. And let's just go straight to verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. These are what are considered the nine gifts of the Spirit. And, these are gifts of the body of Christ. Nancy operates very strongly in the gifts of prophecy. Amen, gift of prophecy. So repeatedly, she will prophesy over people. She will give a prophecy to the body. That is a gift to the body of Christ. Amen. Each of these represents a supernatural manifestation of God by the Holy Spirit to help the church overcome the situations that they're in. And one of these is called the gifts of healing. Plural, amen. There are many ways that God will move in healing. You can prophesy it. You can lay hands on people. You can use a prayer cloth. You know, several different ways God moves in healing. And so, healing can manifest as a gift. It even talks about the working of miracles, which is really a lot of times aligned with the healing gifts as well. Although miracle gifts can go outside of your physical body. When Jesus turned the water to wine, non-alcoholic, that was a miracle. Miracles go beyond the natural working of operations in the world. In other words, if a limb grows out, that's a miracle. Amen. Where Jesus spoke to the lepers that came to him, 10 lepers, and he says, go wash in the pool. Or go show yourself to the priest. I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. Go show yourself to the priest. And as they left, they were all healed. That was healing. In other words, they recovered from the leprosy. But one returned to give him praise, and Jesus told him, he said, where are the other nine? He says, I really don't know. He says, well, you go and be thou made whole. All of his body parts that had fallen off were restored. First he received the gift of healing, and then a miracle brought forth restoration that healing normally could not produce. Do you see that? And so, we see both of those operating here strongly and very frequently. Amen. Restoration of what natural healing can't do, plus immediate healing from things that even medicine may be able to do. And so, that's a free gift. It's a gift because many times it's irrelevant where the faith of the person is that's receiving the gift. Usually the gift operates through the faith of the one that's praying for the person versus the person receiving. I've seen many people out in public I prayed for weren't saved, didn't believe in healing, and God would heal them. Amen. Of some major things. They go, how did you do that? You know what that's called? An open door of ministry. Amen. When they say, how did you do that? You have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And so, that's the gifting. And praise God for the gifts of the Spirit. There are several even here that have received gifted healings, and are thankful that God set you free from that pain. Many times people need a gifting operation to keep them alive until they can build their faith for healing. The problem is with a gift, you never know if you're really going to receive it or not. You know, Benny Hinn crusades. Benny Hinn operates in healing power like potentially nobody on the planet. Amen. Not but a handful operate in healing power like he does. So when he goes to an area, to a city, they will pack up the Colosseums. I mean, they may have 20,000 people come to his meetings. And of the 20,000, it wouldn't be surprising if half of them have something they need a miracle for or need a healing of and may have almost no faith themselves to receive healing. So they come looking for the breakthrough. I've been to many of his meetings, and I've looked at his prayer lines, and he'd be praying for people, and you know there were people in the line that if he didn't receive a miracle, they would be dead within a few days. I remember one time in Tulsa going to one of his meetings, he had people coming up on the stage for prayer, where he just opened it up for whosoever. And there was a man, I've never seen anything like it. A man was in the line, very thin, and he was green. Virtually almost glow-in-the-dark green. Do you remember that? You may not remember that one. And I guess his liver was bad or something like that, and his total skin tone was green. And I knew he was dead within a few days. Did he receive the miracle? I don't know. He got prayed for, but whether it wasn't one where they were, you know, able to testify at the time. And did he get the miracle? I don't know. But if he didn't, he was going home one way or the other. So you don't know if you go to a Benny Hinn conference. Well, first of all, if you'll be called out. And if he calls you out, you're getting healed. If he calls you out, you're getting healed. Just like if Apostle Callan calls you out, you're getting healed. I've never seen Apostle Callan call anybody out that they didn't receive their miracle on the spot. Amen. So if Benny Hinn calls you out, that's the gift. That's one God's pointing out, saying you get a gift today of this miracle healing. But there's 20,000 people there. He can't call them all out. So then they may open it up for people to come on stage to get hands laid on, but he can't lay hands on 20,000 people. And if he does lay hands on you, you don't know if you're going to receive the gift or not. Amen. Because the gifts manifest as the Spirit wills. So I am sold on the concept it'd be better to find a method where you know you're going to get healed versus depend upon possibly the gift manifesting. Amen. And God's provided a method in Scripture whereby we know we can be healed of everything, every time, all the time. And it's really God's Caius calling to walk in this level. God never meant for the church to live by gifts. For you to survive by gifts, He wants you to live by faith. He wants you to be able to get into the Word of God, study the Word out, find His promises, and believe and act on His promises and see guaranteed results every time. Because faith is a law, it always works. You don't know if a gift is going to come through or not, but faith will always come through. Oh, that's good to know. Therefore, if you'll build your faith in the promises of God, you can always manifest what the Word of God guarantees you. Amen. And it's good to know that you can walk in divine health by faith. Go over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and let's go to verse number 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, that's a long time to have this issue. Amen? And has suffered many things of many physicians, the doctors couldn't heal her, and has spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. In other words, she's on a spiral that's going to lead to death. She's getting worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now understand, this woman was unclean. If she had an issue of blood, as she had an issue of blood, it was against the Judaic law for her to be in public and to touch anybody because she was declared as unclean. Yes, she heard of Jesus and decided to press through all the people and touch his garment. Look at verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, if you study the actual verb tense of this verse, it really would be better written, she kept saying continually, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She didn't say it one time. She kept repeating it to herself over and over again. I believe she kept encouraging herself all the way through the process with it. If I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can just get to him and touch his clothes, I'm going to be made whole. What was she doing? She was verbalizing faith. She heard of Jesus, meaning she heard of his miracles. And something in her connected to the potential Jesus had on his life to provide for healing. And she became convinced, if I can just but touch him, I'll receive of that healing power. And I'll be made whole, right? So she's saying this continually. She presses through the crowd. And it says in verse 29, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? For felt virtue had gone out of him. Was this healing by the gifts? No. Jesus didn't call her out. He didn't have a prayer line where he's looking to lay hands on people to pray. She sought him out by faith. She spoke forth by faith. And here's Jesus in this entire crowd. He's being thronged. In fact, the verbiage indicates he was almost crushed in his crowd. And nobody else is receiving of that virtue. You know, here's the funny thing that faith does. If you take a car battery, well, let's use a different example. Well, electrical outlet. And you plug a bobby pin into the electrical outlet, I don't care who it is, they're going to get shocked. You know, if you hit the right end of it, right? You grab a hold of a hot wire, electric wire, you're going to get shocked. I've been shocked so many times. That's not a good thing. But I don't know how many times I've had the threat of electrocution. And it's a whole other sermon. Amen to God's faithfulness. I've been lit up a bunch of times. One time by 16,000 volts, I think it was. With no shirt on and barefooted on an aluminum ladder. Glory to God. That was fun. I don't have time for that story this morning. But whoever grabs that hot wire is going to get shocked. But it's not the same, apparently, with faith. Just because you rub up somebody with power on their life doesn't mean it's going to transfer to you. You've got to have a faith grounding point for the power to come on you. And of all these people rubbing up against Jesus, he had this unlimited power on his life. Rubbing up against him, nobody received an impartation of virtue until that woman touched him with faith. And when she did, he felt the power go out of his life. And she was made whole of that plague. She accessed her healing by faith. She didn't wait to be called, you know, off the sideline like some others did, right? Like the man at the pool of Bethesda. He wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus came out by and called him out. That was a gift. She said, I'm going to go beyond the gift and access it myself by faith. And that is the highest level of accessing the power of God, is by believing what God said and moving into it forcefully yourself. Most Christians are living hoping God will touch your life. Oh, Lord, if it be thy will, come and touch me and heal me. God, if I were you, I would heal you if I felt as bad as I feel. Or if you felt as bad as I feel. You know, you don't want to make deals. I'll go to church this next Sunday. Just heal me right now. But God's got a process by which we can get healed every time. Amen. By decreeing his promises by faith. And that's what we're learning to do in here. What we're learning to that's how we're learning to live. As an overcomer. And we could take testimonies all day of the healings you've received by faith. You know, we hear a lot of them by giftings, but some of you, a whole lot of you can say how you received them by faith. I've shared this before, but I'm not sure I've ever received a healing by the giftings. I've been prayed for several things, you know, calling on the gifts. But I can't recall any time I ever really received a major healing from a gifting. But I've been healed about everything else by faith. Amen. And praise God for faith. Sometimes God wants you to quit being reliant on a gift and learn to feed yourself. Amen. Now come for the gift. But there comes a time when you mature in Christ, He says, okay, it's time for you to feed yourself, build your own faith in healing or whatever the promise is, and step into it. And that's when you really step into victory. That's when it becomes so much fun, when you know the devil can't stop you. I saw that we've had several men of God that have been gotten hit hard by the devil lately and seen miracle deliverances. In fact, Rod Parsley, just told how he's been healed of throat cancer. And they basically given up on him. And they said, you'll never speak or preach again. He's preaching right now. God totally restored everything. Amen. So he's a healing God. Now, let's look at some instances in Scripture where we see God as the healer. 1 Peter chapter 2. This goes to verse number 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. How many know on the tree Jesus took our sins? On the cross, right? So we have no question about that. But in the same verse He says that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus took a beating that in many cases killed the people that were being beaten. He took a scourging that He didn't have to take for us to be saved. You know, it always, when I was first born again, it always bothered me that Jesus was tortured so horribly. If all He had to do was hang on a tree to take our sins, why did they have to beat Him? Why did He have to take that crown of thorns on His head? Why did they have to pluck His beard and spit on Him and strip Him? And we now have a list that's up to like 24 different things He went through. Jane has helped me add to the list. 24 different tortures He went through. All the way up to finalizing everything at the cross. And why did He have to go through all that? But if we look and seek out why, we'll find that everything He went through purchased something for us. Amen. They plucked His beard to deliver us from shame. Nailed to the cross to deliver us from sin. Stripped Him so we could be made rich. All the way through. Amen? And He was beaten. He was beaten, which would be the second most horrendous of the tortures He took. To purchase for us a guaranteed process by which we can be healed. He took the stripes upon His back where they ripped the flesh off of His back for our healing potential. Amen? And the truth is, for us willingly to accept sickness without fighting it by faith, for us not to take time to get into Scriptures and confess healing into our lives, is to somewhat take that whipping post for granted. I didn't mean that to condemn anybody, but to encourage you, go in and claim God's right, the right God's given us for healing. Learn to access the power of God for health. Amen. By His stripes, we were healed. That's how faith operates. As you recognize, I'm not trying to get healed. The Bible says I'm already healed. I'm rejecting the sickness that is trying to visit me. Amen. Because I already have a right to be healed. And faith begins where the will of God is known. And faith for healing begins when you understand it's already been purchased for you. Amen. And as a child of God, you have a right to live sickness free. Go over to Matthew chapter 4. And this is most likely going to be a two-part lesson. I'll probably finish it tonight. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, those who were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Here we see Jesus healing everything wherever he went. Amen? He would preach the gospel and then heal. Can I put this in another way of speaking? He proclaimed the kingdom of God and then he demonstrated how it worked. He demonstrated what was available to those that step into the kingdom of God. And if Jesus was healing people 2,000 years ago, and how many know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's still healing today. God is a healing God. Here we see he's healing multitudes. Go over to Acts chapter 10. Let's go to verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. How many? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now here we see several interesting points. First off, we see that he healed them all. Right? So if he healed them all then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to heal all today. So many people say, God, if it be thy will, you can heal me. Or, you know, you ask him, well, are you ready to be healed? Well, if it's God's will. Well, if it's not God's will, why are you going to the doctor? Why would you try to fight the will of God? Maybe God wants you sick. Why would you be taking that medicine? These things don't make sense. Of course it's God's will that you be healed. It's Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? And so, here we see he healed all. The first thing you got to know to access healing by faith is it is his will. You got to know it is God's will to heal you. If you didn't know it was his will, how could you access it by faith? Because I will guarantee you the first thing the devil will tell you if you're believing God for healing, he's going to tell you, oh, he'll heal everybody else, but it's not his will to heal you. You better know it's his will. It's amazing. We don't have time to look at it this morning, but repeatedly where you study out the impartation of the cross to make us righteous, salvation through the cross. In the prophetic passages of the Old Testament, it will be tied to healing as well. God repeatedly tied healing and salvation throughout Scripture together. And we would never tell somebody that would want to get saved, we would never tell them, well, you can get saved if it's God's will that you be saved. We tell them it's whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here's the thing. We have as many phrases or passages that say everybody can be healed as we do that everybody can be saved. Yet one we say is always God's will, and the other one we say it may not be God's will. Could it be the devil doesn't want Christians to walk in the power of healing? You must know it's His will. He healed them all. And then it says, healed all that were oppressed of the devil. I understand germs. I understand physical abnormalities, problems. But Scripture seems to verify that most sickness is a result of demonic oppression. If nothing else, the devil has seemed able to go in and influence a person's body to block healing from taking place. Without demonic activity or interaction, healing would normally flow in a person's life. Amen. And those that operate in high levels of healing, especially in some of the higher gifts, will even address the demonic powers behind the sicknesses without ever even speaking to the sickness itself. William Branham, who is known for his ability to heal people of cancer, I think it was Branham, would just worship God, and he would hear in the spirit, he'd hear the cancer demons crying out. And he would know who it was coming from and address that cancer spirit and cast it out, and the people would be healed. So we see that here sickness is a form of demonic oppression. A lot of times pain you're experiencing is just a demonic torment. I was praying for somebody the other day. You can remind me who it was, but you were praying and you had pain and it kept moving around in your body. It was over here, then it was over here. And that's usually a spirit. You pray for your shoulder, what's going to do? It's going to move to your back or your hip or whatever. Had an individual in our church that had back problems for several years. I mean debilitating back problems. And he knew faith. He was confessing faith. He'd been prayed for several times. And finally, he was at home. He had enough. He just screamed at the devil, "Devil, I bind you in Jesus' name." I don't remember the exact words. "Come off of me." And he felt himself like throw up something. If you've ever had that happen, you know what I'm talking about. But nothing came out, but it was like an air bubble. And when he did, his back was totally healed. Tormenting is a tormenting spirit. Doctors can't fix that. Psychologists can't fix that. But the authority of the Word of God can. So they were oppressed of the devil. But then if we back up, it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus didn't perform the miracles he did because of his own inherent power. Because when he came to earth, he was fully made a man. Jesus left all of his divinity behind when he came to earth as a man. The only thing he kept as far as any type of God identity was his God nature. Because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, he was imparted an incorruptible nature. Amen? He was born righteous. But he was still born as a man. So every miracle that Jesus did, every healing he accomplished as a man through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Do you see this? Everything he did as you or I. But he carried the fullness of the Spirit on his life because of who he was and who he knew he was. The thing is, we have been given rights to carry the same anointing. Everything he did, we can do. Amen? And we've been assigned by God now to go about and do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil. We get to carry the same anointing of healing. And men and women that have gotten a hold of this in the past, I mean at a high level, have performed miracles upon miracles. They said that T.L. Osborne performed more miracles than any man on the planet in history and documented them. And has volumes recorded of the miracles that were done in his ministry. Yet God said he saved, and of course he's gone on to be with the Lord a few years ago. God saved the best for last. He saved the best for last. And right now, God's pouring out not just through a few men and women, but He's pouring out through His body the healing power of God like never before. And in your lives. I'm just curious. How many in here have ever laid hands on somebody, prayed with somebody, and saw them receive a major healing? Look at the hands going up. You see that? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what God's after. And it's going to increase. Amen. To the point, see, I mentioned this the other day. When I first got saved, and I started seeing people praying for people, and they were falling out in the Spirit, I thought, if I ever could just pray for somebody, they'd fall out, man, you'd know you were somewhere. Or just pray in tongues. Wow, you'd really attained. Amen. But now, that's nothing. And where we're at right now, with the miracles we're seeing, is nothing compared to where we're going. God's about to explode on the earth with healing, miracle manifestation. Amen? And you get to be the carriers of it. I never dreamed I would see the miracles I've seen. I never thought it would be as frequent. You know, we used to point to the book of Acts as the ultimate, the first century church. Oh, if we could just see the miracles they saw in the book of Acts. Well, the book of Acts records what took place over a 27-year period. Amen. And now, this ministry is packed full of people that have seen many more miracles themselves individually than we have recorded in the book of Acts. And every time we think, man, if we ever saw that in the church again, we'd be in revival. Now we're seeing men and women of God doing that. Pastor Callahan does more miracles than Acts records, sometimes in a month, than we've recorded in this book. But the devil has still blinded the minds of the multitudes that they don't see. But you see, right? So getting back to the most important way we can be healed is by faith. And here we see Jesus healed them all. Go to John chapter 14. Let's start reading at verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Jesus is here letting us know He is the earthly representation of the Father. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Wow. The greater works. That verse has driven me for 30 years. When I saw that verse in Scripture, I said, that seems too good to be true. Understand, 30 years ago, we weren't seeing hardly any miracles. In fact, 30 years ago, I'd never even seen a miracle. Amen. And then when we finally started seeing people healed, it was like one here or one there. Pastor Callahan, when this would have been probably 1990 or 91, had a lady in our church. We were in the denominational church at the time. And Pastor Callahan had this huge prayer line. And Carol got up there. Carol was blind, totally blind. She had retinitis pigmentosa, had no retinas. Had her seeing eye dog, Stanley. I knew her well. And there was probably, I'd say, 50 people in the prayer line across the sanctuary. And she was in the middle of it. And he went around just praying for people. And every once in a while, somebody get a healing. I mean, it wasn't real common, but we were believing. He got to her, pray for her, pow, she went down on the ground. And she got back. She says, "I still can't see." And Philip Thornton was there. He says, "Well, in Jesus' name, open your eyes," or whatever. And he went, pow, hit her, and her eyes exploded open. And she goes, "That is a beautiful ring," was the first thing she said. The next thing she said was, "Alberta, you really are short." If no Alberta Derber, amen. Eyes open supernaturally. We had a party on that one for a month. But it was one miracle. One miracle that was probably the only miracle we saw of that level, I'd say, for 6 years or so. But now, this ministry seeing blind eyes opened all the time. I'm talking about, you name it, we're seeing it. Deaf ears opening, dead being raised. We never dreamed it would be like this. All we had to go on was this verse. "You'll do the greater works. The works I do, you do also." And we stood on this verse, on passages like this one, as we envisioned the day that we would see multitudes healed, that everybody would be healed. Still to this day, this church is now 14 years old, 14 and a half. This church has never lost a single member to death of an active member. And we're not going to. Amen? That's our declaration. We've had the devil try to take some out, but he couldn't kill them. Why? Because we didn't allow it. That's a miracle. Most churches you go to, I'm just trying to let you know what's going on. It's not trying to, you know, get in pride or anything. But most churches you go to, I've been to them. When you go, they give you a bulletin, and the first page inside the bulletin is ever, you know, all the process of the 40-minute service. And it's a checklist for me. How quick can I get out of here? Amen. Don't you love Jesus? Yes. I want to get somewhere where he's moving. The other half of the page is everybody's in the hospital. And it'll be a whole page filled with names. How many people in this church are in the hospital today? As far as I know, zero. If they're in there, they haven't called me. And listen, if you go to the hospital, it's no sin. We have people go to the hospital now and then. It's a good place to have babies. Nothing wrong with going to the hospital. They'll keep you alive until the anointing can take over. Amen. Don't think we're against doctors. We're not against doctors whatsoever. We just know there's a guaranteed method you can access healing above what the doctors can accomplish. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're to be doing these greater works. So listen, we see here that God is the healer. Does anybody have a question about that now? Go to Psalm 105. I want this church healed, every member of everything, all the time. We've decreed and declared that sickness cannot exist in this church or on any member of this church. And when you come in here, it's got to fall off of your life. Psalm 105. Go over to verse number 37. Now, this is talking about Israel coming out of Egypt. When Israel came out of Egypt, it's estimated there were about 2 million people. 2 million people. What's the population in Kentucky? 4 million? Around 4 million? Let's call it half the population of Kentucky. It would certainly be the populations of Louisville, Lexington, Bowling Green, and Paducah put together, right? That's a lot of people. And it says in verse 37, He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There's the wealth transfer. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now think about that for a minute. Lexington, Louisville, Bowling Green, and Paducah. And that's still not 2 million. There's not a sick person in the entire area. Nobody at the doctor. Nobody in the hospital. Nobody at the chiropractor. Not a feeble person among them. Could we say that was a miracle? Can we say that at the Exodus, God's power showed up so magnificently that He strengthened them? Oh, there's that word strengthened. He strengthened them with the ability to leave and not have to drag anybody. No stretchers. No wheelchairs. That's a miracle. And it's an Old Testament miracle. It's about the Old Testament Exodus. And God's raising up an end-time revivalist church that's going to see a similar inversion of the wealth of the wicked to the hands of the righteous. And a move of God in healing where none of His people are sick anymore. I'm convinced in the glory there will be no sickness. When the glory fully manifests, there'll be no feeble or weak among us. Amen? In fact, I believe limbs will go out left and right. Eyes will form in sockets. Through the power of the glory. And God has called us to be the emissaries, the leading edge ambassadors of that move. If there was no feeble people in the Exodus, how much more should there be no sickness in His end time church? Now, there's no doubt, there is zero doubt that at the Exodus, the healings they received were all by the gift. Right? But there weren't any prophecies about divine health yet. God did a gifting upon the entire body. They were all healed. And I believe there's a gifting coming in the church. Everybody's going to be healed. But first He's raising up a leading edge church who will access it by faith. And if you just get in agreement with us, with the whole body, we're going to agree the devil can't take you out. He can't make you sick. Amen. Can't make you immobilized. We're going to kick out every oppressive force of the enemy from this church. So I confess all the time, if not daily, or more than daily, this church, there's no sick among us. Sickness can't exist on our people. We're all healed by the power of God. And we can receive that. We can walk in that. You have a right to it. Just do your part to get the word in you and speak out word and watch what happens. I've yet, to this day, ever had any type of debilitating attack of the enemy be able to stay on my body. And I've had to fight some fights. But guess what? By the word, we win. 3 John. This morning we're just addressing God as a healer, and it's His will that you be healed. Tonight we're going to go into some of the steps of how to activate this. 3 John 2. I'm turning there like we don't all know this verse. says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." You want to know if it's God's will for you to be healed? Here it tells you right there. You want to know if it's God's will for you to be prosperous? You see it right here. God wants you healthy, and He wants you wealthy. But He says you can only access it as your soul prospers. Now, we understand that our soul is not the same as our spirit man. Our soul represents our mind, will, and emotions. And when you got saved, God gave you a brand new spirit, but you kept the same old soul. Right? With all the memories of sin, all the mindsets of defeat, all the expectation of bad, it was all still up in your soul. But the Scripture says that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It went, I prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? By spending time in the Word and confessing the Word and meditating Word, you can change the way you think. And you can convert yourself from a loser mentality to a success mentality. From a sickness expectation mindset to a healed expectation mindset. You know, when you got saved, you had to change your mindset about salvation. When I got saved, I didn't spend any time in the Word. I got saved through the Word of knowledge being expressed through a miracle, you know, a gift of the Spirit. And I knew God was speaking to me. And my wife and I both at the same time said, we receive it. Jesus is Lord. We got saved the same moment in time, 31 years ago. And had no idea what had happened. We didn't know about being born again. We didn't know about being made righteous. All we know is we agreed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. We didn't even know what it meant. Other than, you know, we decided to live for God. I knew about no internal change that took place. So for the first couple years of my salvation, I fought over that thing. Am I really saved? Oh, I had a bad thought. I must not be saved. You know, the people said, no, you believe in Jesus? Yes, and you're saved. And man, it was a battle. Anybody else have that battle? You probably weren't as much of a heathen as I was. But I had stuff I had to deal with. And so it took me a few years of going into Romans chapter 10 and realizing if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, Jesus is Lord, I'll be saved. I made a lot of trips to the altar to just assure my salvation. I know it never happened to any of you, but me, I wanted to make sure. I'd go confess something else, you know, go to the altar again. Oh, Jesus. I know I lost my temper at my wife again, but, you know, she deserved it. It took some time for me to build my faith in my salvation that I no longer doubted it or questioned it. I had to renew my soul. I had to prosper my soul to salvation. In the same way, you've got to develop your thinking to line up with the Word of God regarding healing and prosperity. You've got to spend time in the Scriptures meditating verses that guarantee you health, to talk about God's will to heal. And as you do so, it rewires your mind to think in alignment with healing. All of a sudden, you can agree, yes, by His stripes, I am healed. In fact, I was healed. And you can stand on and even resist the symptoms until you step into the healing power of God. The point being is, you don't step into that healing by faith until you spend time prospering your soul by the Word. We have confession cards in the back there, right behind Dennis's head. Whole rack of them. We put there on purpose. Each one deals with a different promise of Scripture that you have a right to. In other words, a different area of blessing you can manifest. And those cards are there for you to read and confess over your life and meditate on until faith arises within you and you know that you have what you're believing for. I know people call us name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, confess and possess. But that's true. Because if you don't start believing it, you won't receive it. Chances are. If you don't confess it, it'll never be activated, right? They call it blabbing if they want to, but I call it, you know, kingdom conversation. Let's call it that. Amen. But it takes time building your faith and then releasing your faith intentionally. So many people have this mindset that God is this will-o'-the-wisp power in the sky. You know what I mean by will-o'-the-wisp? You just can't put your hand on it. He's just kind of a floaty, you know, drifty God, and whatever whim he has, he'll move and flow down here and touch this, or maybe he'll move over and touch this. And God's not like that. God's a calculating God. I guarantee he's an engineer. Had to be to build all of this. He's a calculating God. He is a reliable God. A dependable God. He's a God that says, I cannot lie. And he says in Scripture, you can know my ways. Where he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What good would it do for us to have knowledge if he changes his mind all the way, changes how he operates? I know some people like that. Are you okay with this? I know some people like that. That if they said they were going to do something, I wouldn't depend upon them for nothing. There's no way. If they said they'd be there, you know, by such and such time, I know people personally. If they said they'd be here by such and such time, I'm not looking for them for 2 hours. They tell me they're coming to visit or coming to do this. We'll see. We'll see people. And it may not be that they're, you know, mean people or, you know, wicked people, but their word is kind of like susceptible to change. But God's not like that. If he gave us a promise, he'll do it. If he said he'd meet with us, he'll meet with us. God is a very, what's the word I want? He is a very set-in-place God. He does things how he says he's going to do them. And so we can access these promises by believing them, by faith. He's just looking for people that will escape the floaty mindset of God and realize they can virtually connect their belief system to him and do his word and know it's going to come to pass. And faith operates by that understanding. Faith works by knowing God's going to do what he said he would do. And he put it in his word what he's going to do. So if we'll believe God for healing, there is not a sickness, a disease, an oppressive force. Even death itself has to bow the knee to Jesus Christ if we'll believe. He's raising up a people that will walk in that. And I believe he's raising that up right here. Does anybody have a problem with anything I said this morning? You've experienced it, haven't you? Now, a few weeks ago, I announced that one of the ultimate flavors in the world is a Culver's Butterscotch Concrete. How many went and got one? 3 people. See, you believed that word enough to go taste and see that it was good. Was I lying? Was that not phenomenal? Amen. That's just a natural thing you can taste. But I'm telling you, step into healing, your life will never be the same. And you never have to be sick another day of your life. Did you get anything out of this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Is Aaron in the back?